Oh.
It was a little more lively when we had a lot more kids.
Yeah, 35 kids makes it a little bit more difference, doesn't it? But they did good. They did good. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Since this is Father's Day, we'll be kind of focused on fathers, but I also like to focus on family, mothers and fathers, because it's a team effort, isn't it, in raising children? It's just not one-sided. It's a team effort between mothers and fathers and children also to work together as a family. So looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, I know in the bulletin it shows 4 through 9, but I want to start with verse 1. Because Moses here, being led by God to write what God wanted the children of Israel, and even though this is in the Old Testament, it applies to us today, because it talks about one important thing: teaching the Word of God to children. Not only children, but ourselves. And it's just not just something suggested, but it starts out, this is the commandment. Okay? So follow along with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. Now that fear, that doesn't mean to be afraid. That means reverence, okay? There's understanding in when you see word fear in the Bible. In this context, in this translation, from the Hebrew, it means to reverence God. To keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you might multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. I want to stop right here with verse 4. Because verse 4 really has a unique significance to the message and what Moses was teaching Israel. Because it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This verse has a specific meaning and thought to it, because the word "Hear, O Israel," in the Hebrew it says Shema or Shema, and it is a praise. It is a recognition of who God is. And Shema or Shema, in this verse, it means to hear or listen. Because when you hear and you listen to God, all-powerful, it is unique. It's really unique. And that's what that means. So Shema or Shema is to hear. So it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God." He's everybody's God, right? He is the God of the universe, the world, all mankind, and he is the Lord one. It also means when you see the Lord all in capital letters, all capitals, that is the Hebrew word for Yahweh. And Yahweh is only mentioned, is only repeated by the Hebrews once a year, and that's when they went into the Holy of Holies. So you see, what I'm wanting to get across to you and myself this morning, the Lord God is so sacred, so holy, so righteous, we should never take the name of the Lord God out of context, and we should always use it in the right manner, and especially when it comes to worship. Okay? And that's why Moses, when he got a direct revelation from God, you see, he said, you know, this is not just a suggestion. This is commandment. This is the statutes and the judgment which the Lord your God has commanded me. So he said, he's put a lot of responsibility on me, and I just don't want to take it on myself, but I want to pass it on you, for it is for your own good. It's for your protection. It is for your well-being, so that you might have success in life. Now, he's not talking about material success. He's talking about the blessings. And it says, the place that you're going, God is going to place you. He is providing everything that you're going to need in this world. It was going to be like heaven to them, because everything was going to be provided, because he said it's going to be flowing with milk and honey. You see, we live in the United States, and we could say too that the United States flows with milk and honey, doesn't it? We are truly blessed. Why are so many people wanting to come to the United States to work, to have a family, to raise their children? And even though they may not have the standards and the teachings and the Word of God as we have it and as we know it, but you see, we have an awesome responsibility to pass on the heritage and the legacy that we have as a nation under God, amen? A nation under God, to pass on what God has placed with the responsibility, awesome responsibility, which he started out from the very beginning with Israel, the Hebrews, Judaism, that they might be the one who pass on the Word of God through all the nations and everyone who come in contact with them. You see, we have that awesome responsibility to do that. And since God created man first, he created man to be an example, a role model, to be the spiritual leader within the home, within the church. Wherever we go, we are to set the example. We are to be a leader in this world of standards, and especially that of the Word of God. You see, it's an awesome responsibility that we should not take lightly. And we have so many dysfunctional families and homes in our world today, don't we? And just in the United States itself. I mean, you can look around and you can see the discords and the things that's going on. And if we would just come back to the Word of God, where it all began from the very beginning, and look at this and read it, as James chapter 1 says, I haven't finished reading this yet, have I? So, let me finish reading. I was in verse 4, right? Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God. Okay, that's it right there. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. Now, if we should take an evaluation of ourselves individually, you know, not looking around, looking at somebody else, but looking at ourselves, How do we love our God? Do we love Him with all our heart? Do we love Him with all of our soul? Do we love Him with all of our might? And we say we do in our words, don't we? But in our actions and the things that we do, do we follow through with that? We need an honest evaluation. The Bible says to examine yourself. I know it pertains to the Lord's Supper, but we are to examine ourselves on a daily basis and say, Lord, you know, what revision do I need to make today? In verse 6, it says, these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them. And when you sit in your house and when you walk and by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up, is there anything in between? It's pretty well covered, isn't it? What we should be doing with the Word of God. So you shall bind them as a sign upon your head, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates. Now, what do you want to write? Write them on the doorpost of... on your doorpost at the gates. It'll be a reminder to you. How many of you write scripture on a piece of paper or print it out and you place it on your mirror? Anybody do that? Anybody does that? Do they? Do you? Oftentimes I do that. Sometimes Brenda finds them all the time. I got them laying around on my desk and in different places in my pockets. And I'll place them, and that's how I often learn scripture. So, I'm on the go and here and there, and I can see it, and I can pull it out of my pocket and learn a new scripture. And that's what Moses is saying here to Israel's, the Israelites, the Jews, is to make sure no matter where you go, you sit down, you walk, you're lying down, you're getting up, you're going to bed, you're rising, and you're on your way. Make sure that you have imprint or something visible that you can sow in your heart. Because at any given time in your life, God is going to give you an opportunity for that word to come out, and you're going to share it, and you're going to pass it on with someone else. But you see, Satan, he is going to try to distract you. He's going to try to get in your mind. He's going to try to get in your heart and distort and distract you from doing any of that. Reminds me of Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a problem or a way of going next door without letting his mom and dad know. He liked to play next door in the yard. And every time his mom would look out, there Jeremiah would be right over in the neighbor's yard playing, and she would holler at Jeremiah, come back in your own yard. And she said, why do you want to be disobedient? He said, I don't mean to. Well, when Jeremiah's dad got home, guess what mom did? Jeremiah was back over in the neighbor's yard. You need to talk to Jeremiah. I've talked to him blue in the face, and he still goes in the neighbor's yard. So the dad sets Jeremiah down. They had a nice son and father conversation. He said, Jeremiah, your mama tells you not to go there. I tell you not to go there. Why do you do it? He said, you know, I wrestle with this all the time. He said, Satan, you know, I don't want to do it. And he gets in my mind, he gets in my heart, and I end up doing it. And the dad said, well, next time he does it, just tell him, get behind you. Get behind me, Satan. So another day or two goes along, and he does the same thing again. Mother says he's doing it again. So dad sits down again. He said, you was over there in the neighbor's yard again. You were told not to go over there. And we even built a fence around the house so that we could keep you contained. But your mama said that there's a big hole in the fence. Now, how do you explain that? Jeremiah said, well, you know, he said, right before I went through that hole, I told Satan, get behind me. Well, he did, and he pushed me through the hole in the fence. You see what happens when we are instructed or when we're commanded by the scriptures that we are to follow the commandments of the Lord, and Satan would do anything to distract us. He would do anything to cause us to not think about what the Bible is teaching us, what the Lord, our God, Almighty God, Yahweh, is handed down through years of generations for us to follow. And if we would just memorize scripture or do something to remind us of the things that we need to do on a daily basis, we would be more successful in our life. The proper grip is rearing kids is like holding like a wet bar of soap. And I've found this out in the shower, haven't you? When you grip the soap real tight, what happens? It shoots out of your hand. But if you grip it too lightly, it slips out of your hand, right? Well, what we need to do is to gently but grasp it, you know, firmly, and we will hold on to it. You see, that's how we are to teach our kids and get them under our guidance. You see, if we treat them gently but firm, you see, then we will be able to be more in control of the success in our family and our children. And you might be thinking, well, this message don't apply to me because my kids are already grown and they're already out of the house. But you see, the scripture still applies to each one of us. It still applies to all of my kids are all grown out of the house and have their own children, and those are called grandchildren. And see, we still have an awesome responsibility to our grandchildren and to generations. It's like the little boy said, came up to his dad, he said, Dad, where did I come from? And dad said, well, you know, the big stork, the big bird, you know, he gave him that story that we often hear, just kind of sidetrack kids, get them thinking about something else rather than going into a lot of detail about life itself. Well, the son wasn't hardly satisfied with that, so he goes to the grandfather, and his grandfather gives him even a different point of view of the bird story than the dad did. So he goes to his friend and says, you know, I've asked my dad and I've asked my grandfather about where I came from, and he said, you know, I've in the third generation of misfits in the family because we don't even know where we come from. But you see, that is our responsibility as fathers, as children, to be honest and sit down in a way and explain to our kids about life, about the Word of God, and what God's purpose and plan is for us. You know, we don't have to go in detail, graphic details or anything like that, but we need to help our young people and our children to understand that it is God who governs and controls and gives us the way to live our life and to be role models and to live out that life and those standards that's been set aside for us. So, you know, Deuteronomy is a perfect example, and I do believe that, like the Apostle Paul and James draw from the Old Testament, and that's why Paul is, you know, said, teach your children, don't make them angry, but help them to grow in the nourishment and the admonition of the Lord. And in James chapter 1, he says in verse 19, and I'm true to believe that James was pulling from the, or drawing from the Old Testament, because it talks about when you hear the word of God, and see, Moses said, hear, listen to what the commandments of the Lord are saying. It is good for you. It will prolong your life. And you see, we want to prolong life, don't we? We want to live on this earth as long as we can. We like this life, right? Pretty good. Why not allow God to work in and through our lives to the point that He will prolong our life with success in serving Him and one another and being the role model that He has called us to be by hearing the Word of God, by accepting it, as James chapter 1 verse 22 says, accept the Word of God and listen to it intently. And don't just like looking in the mirror and then when you walk away, you forget what you look like. And a lot of us say, I wish I could, right? But we don't want to forget what's been planted in our heart, soul, and mind. It says we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Our might. And when we do that, you see, we're going to be successful. We're going to be a successful father, a successful mother. That means we've got to sit down and spend some time with them and talk with them and listen to them and reason with them and discipline them and teach them the ways of the Lord. And if we do that, we're going to raise a generation of young people who love the Lord. We're living in a day's generation where many, many children do not even know what church is all about. This will be my 24th year going back to camp. And I do believe when I go to camp again this year, that I'm going to be confronted with a lot of children that is there for the first time, and that's the only church they've ever been a part of. So we're going to give them all we can of the Word of God, along with fun, along with worship, along with singing, so that when they go back home, maybe they can take some of that back to the mom and dad who is to be teaching them themselves. And I always tell them, don't let anyone rob you of your experience here this week. Because they're going to go back all pumped up. I mean, I come home pumped up because I experienced revival. A renewal in my own life because I see what God is doing in the lives of children that camp. And that's why it is so important for everybody to come and see what actually God is doing. So when we think about the Word of God, think about our responsibility as men, as mothers, as parents, as children. Your responsibility to work together, seeing that you will be successful in life because you were willing to listen to your parents, listen to the Word of God. And if we're not practicing it, and that's in verse 25 of James chapter 1, it says, you know, you can hear it, you can receive it or accept it, but the one that is going to be blessed is one who does the Word. We want to do the Word, right? We don't want to just hear it and receive and accept it. That's important. That's the first two steps. But the steps where you're going to actually be blessed is in verse 25 of James chapter 1. if you will actually follow through with the word and apply it to your life. Not only apply it to your life, but pass it on to someone else. And when you have it in your heart, soul, and mind, that's going to be an accomplishment. That's going to be a success for you and all of those who you talk to. May we pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Your word is precious. Nehemiah said, you know, taste it. See how good it is. And I pray that each and everyone here has been challenged by your word, the message of this day, because it has come from on high. Your word was given to us through revelation of your Holy Spirit. May we take it serious. May we take it into our lives. And Lord, learn of it and apply it. May we pass it on and teach it, as Deuteronomy tells us, as we rise and as we walk and as we sit, as we lay and as we rise. Lord, may it be forever the most important book. Most important part of our lives is to learn more about you and your purpose and your will for our lives. All of us here today, from the small, youngest to the oldest, Lord, you have a great plan for each one of us. And Lord, you will reveal it to us through your scripture, through prayer, through our heart, through our mind, right down to the depths of our soul. We praise you. We thank you for the awesome God that you are. That you are a God of love, a God of salvation, and you offer that to each one of us who will receive and accept it today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and turn to hymn number 342. I believe that's Just As I Am.